it with the filmmaking team of OCD. It's a 1 minute film, play at the Student Film Festival. Callie, you are the writer, you're the producer, you're also the lead in, actor in the film. And Madonna, you are the director of the film as well. So where, what school was this filmed at? Where were you? Because you guys are like looking at your resumes, you guys are very accomplished people to date, like in terms of your in front of the camera work. Callie, I guess you're a trained dancer, and Madonna, you have a pretty extensive acting experience as well. So I'm curious about your guys doing the student film and kind of coming together. Like, how did you, first of all, how did you guys first meet? Ooh.
I'm gonna give Madonna some flowers here because we met in an acting class here in Vancouver. It was Zoom based, but I just watched her work. We were doing the same scene as assigned by the teacher, and I watched her work and I was like, man, this girl's amazing. I have so much to learn from her. And then I just messaged her. I'm like, yo, you're so amazing. You want to hang out?
And then
And
after that, we ran into each other on a commercial set, and it was at the wardrobe fitting. And I saw Callie sitting there. I was like, "Wait, I know you! Oh my gosh, we met in class!" And it was a nice full circle moment. So honestly, so we did that commercial together, and since then we've been like very linked at the hip.
so you
So.
met in acting class and training class, and then you met professionally again, and like on a, and then when does this film, like, was it a, student film? Did you guys do this at a school?
No, this was actually a submission for a film pitch competition. So it's MAM, the Mighty Asian Movie Making Marathon, hosted by Vancouver Asian Film Festival, VAFF. There's a lot of acronyms here.
Yeah.
But what happened was that I've been wanting to write for a while. I've joined like a writer's group, and I needed some sort of pressure and accountability. So I started writing. The deadline for this came up, and we're like, you know, let's submit. The story is very close to me, close to my family. It's based on a true story. And it was a really great platform to see, like, hey, can we make this? And also the other half of it being because it's a Vancouver Asian Film Festival,
Yep.
it infuses my heritage. It really gave me a platform to explore my roots. And so through that, I submitted, we're like, oh, we'll see what happens. And it got accepted. And we're like, okay, gotta make this. I need a director. And Madonna, being the beauty she is and having her acting training and some directing training back in film theater school, I was like, you got to jump on. And then she thankfully joined in.
So
I did,
Madonna, this
yeah.
is your first film, right? That you directed?
First time directing for film specifically, yes. I directed a lot of stuff for like theater. I did my program in acting and directing. So I was able to dip my toe in during my schooling, but I think I was really excited, but also very nervous to do something for film. There's so much more technical aspects involved and coordinating all these teams. You're kind of responsible for your whole crew. So that was, I think, the most daunting part of it. But I think when we were filming, so we filmed at VFS, Vancouver Film School. We were able to rent a space there for free, I think, right? Yeah.
Well, you
Maybe not
should.
for
It's
all.
a film school, right?
Yeah, so we were very fortunate enough to get that space. Our cinematographer, Mark Youngko, he's amazing. He's very experienced. So I really relied on him and his expertise to get all the shots and ask him for advice while we were filming.
Gotcha. When did you first read the script?
Summer. It was ju what, June, July? No, we filmed it in July.
June.
It was June 2023.
Submission was June, yeah.
Yeah, so June.
So there's a lot. There's a lot of sh let's just say shots. Like at the movie's a 1 minute with credits. I guess it's a little bit longer, but there. I lost count. There's probably over 40 shots in the film, right? It's the way, kind of like the OCD, the way you're setting up the tone of the film, plus the flashbacks of the characters, Callie's characters of, like, with her parents and things like that. So it's a pretty like extensive shoot, even though it's only a 1 minute film. I'm assuming it took you more than one day to shoot it.
No,
You did
it
it in one
didn't.
day.
Yeah, all one day, two locations. It was what, 14 hours? 14 hour
14 hours.
day?
10. It was supposed to be 10 hour, but you know, film is film
Yeah, of
and
course,
go
yeah.
12, 12, 14. Our producers were really great to make sure we stayed on time. Mika Kalpin and Katrina Tates. They're awesome and they made sure everything ran smoothly like a well-oiled machine.
Because you're okay, so your first time you're directing film and you're doing this like this shot, this kind of film, which is really good education for a first time director, because it's all about coverage, right? You got to make sure that you get enough, like you got enough all the cutaways of her hands, of the pencils, you got enough shots of the professor, you got enough shots of the reactive of the students, you got enough shots of the mom reacting to her. It's all about reactions, I guess, right? You're just getting all these shots in, right? So was it all planned out like with storyboards or like a shot list? Did you know exactly what you were getting?
Yeah, we didn't do storyboards. We did have a shot list. So I had I don't know how many shots I had. Maybe I think I originally had maybe I want to say like 12 shots, maybe 10, 12. But then I had a meeting with our cinematographer, Mark, and he sat me down. I was bouncing my ideas off of him, and he's like, "Okay, we're gonna need this. We're gonna need this shot if you're doing this." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I'm just like taking it all in, absorbing and all that info. And there's so much that like you don't know what you don't know. So I think the best part of this experience was having a very seasoned crew backing us up, and like they know what to do. I just have to have the vision and direct and focus on that. So I think what was helpful was to have our producers, Micah and Katrina, on set with us, kind of handling all that was going on. And it was still quite stressful, but I think I learned a lot. And yeah, the shot list, like we had I think there was only one shot that we cut from the that was in the script that we just didn't have time for. But we had actually on the day, I think we added maybe one or two, maybe three shots, extra shots just for additional coverage. So because it's the dialogue is basically just the professor talking throughout the whole thing. So we really had to rely on those reaction shots. And I think for Callie, she had an extra challenge of not having any lines. So for her, it was literally purely reaction, but because she's so amazing and she's like such a talented actress, it was very easy to direct her. So
But it's all about the post-production. It's all about putting the film together and
definitely.
editing, I guess, like the
Yeah.
rhythm and the tone and like, because it can go wrong, I guess, the way the like you have to, it's got to be precise because this is a, you know, it's a serious subject as well, right? So you have to take it seriously, right? Like what you're trying, and then and make it come across as well for the audience that makes them understand exactly what this character is going through, right? So I'm assuming that editing, you're kind of massaging the film and kind of there's probably many different versions you could have come up with in the post-production.
Yeah, well, Callie and I, we both were kind of sitting in the editing sessions with our editor Bryce. I think towards the end, because we had about 10 days to film and edit and do all the post-production. So I think towards the end, it was like late night calls to like midnight, 1 a.m. with Bryce, and just being like, "Oh, can we change this? Can we add this?" Because we have only for the MAM competition, it was actually only supposed to be 1 minute like max, and then the credits like an extra 10 seconds. So we obviously the version that we sent after we added a couple things, so it was a little bit longer. But specifically for this competition, it like every frame counts. So I was like squeezing as many frames as I could out of like one shot, and like he was adding in all these little zooms and like okay, focusing on this. And he's such a wizard in terms of placing all of the coverage. And when we got the rough cut, I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is actually for a rough cut, this is pretty good." And it was just like fine-tuning from there. But yeah, Callie, I don't know if you have anything else to add while we were editing. It was a bit of a crazy time.
Yeah, getting it in by the deadline was nuts. It was just such a good exercise and how pointy and like efficient you can tell a story. And that was the challenge with the script originally. And that was the challenge throughout the entire process, was just what is the story about? What is necessary? Trim, cut, trim, cut, trim, cut. And we were so glad we got those extra shots in the editing room. It just really like blew made it come to life versus what was written on the page. Having those extra shots and having such excellent professionals around us being like, "Yeah, you need this." It was such a great learning experience for both of us.
Yeah, no, it must have been blessing in disguise too that you had that deadline where like you had to get it done, because you can a film like this you can tinker for till the cows come home, right? So it's like it's probably good that you had to like finish it on time. What did someone else do the sound design for you too? Because it's very key to your film, is right, like a good sound and making sure that those little subtle noises are effective with the story.
Yeah, it was our sound designer, Dave Chick. He did the soundscape, all that in post-production. Our sound mixer, who's on set, Alex, he was a wizard, because when we had our gala screening, so like the first time ever seeing it on the screen, like in a theater with everybody, I think the one piece of feedback, like the one comment that a lot of people made when they came up to us after, was everyone was like, the sound was so good, like so clear. You could really hear everything, because in that theater, historically, the sound, just the acoustics, is it's quite bad. Like everything sounds very muddled. So I think we had a bit of an edge. I don't know what Alex and Dave did to like make it sound amazing, but it worked. It took it to a whole nother level, and we kind of gave them free rein, honestly, with specifically with Dave. We gave him free rein with the sound design to do whatever he wanted.
Well, work with him again, because he did a very good job. So, because it's all about the subtleties, right? Like this film, yeah, it's interesting that this is your guys' like basically first produced film. It's a kind of an interesting kind of project for you, because everybody kind of wants to make these big kind of epic short films, and you made this precise film about a subject. So, Callie, you were saying that this is kind of a personal story, correct? How you wrote it?
Very, very close to the family, and for the anonymity of the person, it's about, we're just gonna leave their name out of it. But yeah, I had a front row seat to OCD and the strain it can put on a human being, and especially being Asian Canadian, you could definitely see the differences in approach between Western and Eastern ideologies and how you approach mental health. So because of the competition, one of the prompts for writing was redefining success as an Asian Canadian. And the original script didn't have the family scene involved at all. But because of that, we were able to integrate some of those pieces. And I think it actually gave it such a deeper dimension than what it originally had. And I was really, really grateful for that.
Oh yeah, it gives it context, right? Because it shows that this is a human being. Like it takes like it's more about like the thematic of someone having OCD than it moves into like a more of a personal, like this is her background, this is how her, this is this not without not really being over, like of course it's 1 minute, so you're not overly doing it with the family, but you're just kind of showing us little snippets of like this is how the family's reacting to her and how it's affecting her like emotionally, I guess, right?
100%. And the thing with OCD is that a lot of the fear, the cataclysmic side of OCD, you think if you do one thing, then your entire family will die. And that's why you see those little snippets in there. And so you get to explore that with her along the journey. And yeah.
And then of course I don't even know if this is the correct definition, but is it irony that someone who has OCD getting a lecture about OCD? Is that what you call irony, or
So.
Yeah, I think so. It was like the person this is about, basically she found out she had OCD. She had all the symptoms of it, but she found out she had it in a lecture and was like, oh, I should probably go see a doctor about this. And that's kind of where this all came from.
but they say a lot of people who take those classes or who get into like psychiatry or psychologists or those kind of fields are, they're it's subconsciously or consciously they're doing it for a reason, right? Because they have issues themselves, that like to be general about it, right? So, which makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah, a great film. It's like, so then, so in terms of like, you have a, like I said, we were talking about you have an extensive background, like you're a working actor. You were in that show. I guess you were in the Rise of the Pink Lady. I watched the all 10 episodes.
Oh my gosh.
Paramount, Paramount Plus. So, and yeah, like I like it was, yeah, there were, because I was a big Grease fan back in the day, so I watched it. But it's like, so yeah, you're fantastic in it. And
Thank
so
you.
you're a working actor. So, but this is your, why, what do you think motivated you to like kind of like go into the production side and kind of like make your own film?
Well, as an actor, sometimes you just want to make what you want to see in the world. And I was like, yeah, I would really love to play a character, to show this story. I was like, yeah, this would be really cool for my reel too. And I made it, wrote it. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And then I was like, I didn't give myself any lines. So it was one of those, okay, cool. But I think just storytelling has always been in my blood. And I don't care if it's through dancing, if it's through acting, if it's through writing. I just love to tell stories. And I love what they do to people. I love the way that, it changes someone's viewpoint on the world. It helps educate. Hearing the story about OCD, I was like, this is a story that needs to be told. And I was really excited to be able to tell that for her.
I don't know if this is like this relates, but when it comes to dance, there's like there's that repetition and that kind of like repeat and like in that like you have to do the same routine like 1,000 times, I guess, right? Like over and over and over again. I don't know if that's a relation. I was just thinking about that, like about like when like seeing someone who's going through like a competition or dancing and they have to like it's like it must be in your head like when you have to do like a routine like even on film or whatever like it's like maybe that's probably a good thing for someone who's OCD, right? Like who I don't know, like I'm just throwing it out there. It's just like it's like because that's like it's the, that's what it's about, right? Like it's all about the just doing it over and over and over again.
Definitely. Yeah. When it comes to like dance, I remember there's this one routine I could probably do in my sleep. We went to the World Hip Hop Championships and I could do that. I could do it today. That was like over like 10 years ago. Oh my gosh. But when it comes to things like even learning lines, like Madonna would know, like you just get ingrained in you. The weird thing about OCD is that the more you do the compulsive behavior, the more ingrained it gets in your synapses, and the harder it is, therefore, to break the habit. And that's the real rabbit hole of OCD. And that's why something like this, I was like, okay, how do we really paint that picture in like 1 minute?
And you kind of talk about like the in the not talk about we kind of show it like subconsciously in the film where like you have it in your mind if you don't do this then something bad's going to happen to you or your family if you don't do this then you're going to fail your test like all these kind of crazy thoughts no like you know what I mean like all these thoughts in your head that are not logic they're not based in logic it just has it's based in like your routine and like that's sort of what you're getting at in the film, I guess, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And people with OCD, they understand that it's illogical. They understand that it's weird. And so there's a lot of shame involved in it. And that's why the mom in this plays such a big role. It's because it's the social and physical. You see the bruises on her fingers. There's so much about it that it's so hard to break, but it's so terrifying at the same time that they have to keep doing it. It also shows like OCD in someone who's highly functioning and kind and still has a family and is doing well in school versus the character in As Good As It Gets. He's an asshole, but he has OCD and he's trying to navigate the world and get back at people before they can get him. And this is a very different look at it, a very different character, and a very different way to be like, where people with OCD are just like an everyday person. They're just battling something you can't really see.
And then like and that's a throwback movie. It's like it's almost like 25 years old. Jack Nicholson character. He falls in love in the end, right? So everything good happens to him. But spoiler alert. But this the, well, I, basically what I was gonna say is that basically the mom instead of saying like in a general sense instead of like saying oh how can I help you she's saying what's wrong with you I guess right in its general sense, like
Yeah.
yeah.
I don't know, Madonna, if you've experienced this, but like if anything with mental health and like Chinese culture, which is mine, it's always like, oh, you're not sick, you're just really, really tired. Like it's not a thing. It's more
Yeah.
like, oh,
I
like for
think it's
us,
like
like,
a generational thing too, and
yeah.
especially if you have like immigrant parents or and even yeah, from a cultural standpoint, it's very taboo. It's not really talked about, and yeah, it makes a lot of sense that a character like that is sort of pushing those feelings of shame and oh, like, is there something wrong with me? Or like maybe this is not a big deal, or kind of minimizing it. So yeah, all of those things come into play, and I think the character of the mom in this film, who's played by Doris Lom, who's so sweet. I have such a soft spot for her in my heart. She's so not that character. Like she's in real life, she's so sweet and kind. And I was trying to get that feistiness from her when we were on set. I was like, even more. I'm like, you can go even more with this. And yeah, she's lovely.
Well, I interviewed someone from the Bay Area, and they made their they have this there's this Asian coalition, and they made a movie about what you're referencing. This is her words, but she was talking about how basically it's about conflict. It's about like it's avoiding conflict. So anytime like say you're sick or say you're like whatever, it's like say there's a conflict with a neighbor or something like that, they wash their hands with it. There's a racist attack or whatever it is, they don't want to deal with it, right? And she was saying that's what we're shifting, that this generation shifting, that we're like, we're not going to put up with that anymore. We're going to face our conflicts head on. And she's being very general about it, but that's sort of what that movie was about. I found it and I interviewed her, and she was saying that like your generation's like, yeah, they're even making movies about this. You're like, you're basically putting it front and center. You're saying like, let's deal with this, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I want to watch that. What movie is that
Now,
in?
I can send you the link. Yeah. It's like
Yeah.
I can't remember the I can't remember the what the cold the acronym another acronym the coalition is, but they're like, it's more about like fighting racism, right? Like about like the passive racism that's been going on with the Asian population, and it's like enough. You know what I mean? We're not gonna like walk away from it anymore. We're gonna face it head on, kind of thing, right? So,
Heck yeah.
yeah, yeah. So yeah, so that's sort of what, yeah, you're kind of referencing in this movie. Like let's talk about like we all have issues, right? We're all messed up. So let's talk about it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely know the avoidance part of it. I don't
Yeah.
know.
But yeah, like there's many factors why, you know, every cult culture is like the way they are. So Madonna, are you gonna direct again? Like do you got the bug or what's your future?
A lot of people ask me this question if I get the bug to direct again. And I think if you asked me immediately after doing, like, submitting the film, I would be like, no, I need a break. Even for like a 1 minute, it's quite stressful because regardless if it's 1 minute or 5 minutes or a feature film, the process is the same. So I think that's a great advantage. But I think now that it's been some time since we've filmed it and finished it, I think, yeah, there's kind of something in me that wants to direct again. Maybe we'll do 10 minutes this time. Maybe we'll slowly increase, and then the next thing you know, I'll be directing a feature film. But Callie has a script in the works, so who knows? Might be
I'm
soon
assuming
again.
she does, yeah.
Yeah,
So you
it's
got the writing
very
bug then. You want to keep writing scripts.
again, storytelling. I'm down to tell stories every day to Sunday. I have a background in cognitive systems, so it's a mix of computer science, psychology, linguistics, and computer science. No, linguistics and philosophy, and a minor in commerce. And so I'm really leaning onto all of that for my next script. It's about autonomous vehicles, and I'm really excited about it. And we're gonna see if we can make it. And I would be very, very excited. It has an element of maybe more of a warning this time to the future generations that I'd love to tell.
Well, I'd love to see it eventually. So basically, yeah, like you guys are on your way. So one last question. What did you guys think? We sent the audience to you. What did you guys think of what our audience had to say about your film?
I think Kelly and I, we both had a similar reaction. I love the idea of getting video feedback. I think that's quite rare to get from a film festival specifically, but when I first watched it, I almost cried. I was like, this is so sweet. Like, everyone had such nice things to say, and there was so much positive feedback. And I think what stood out to me in terms of overall what people were saying was they were like the editing and the sound design and the actors. Like, I think all of that came together with this film. And I think as a director, it's very validating because, I mean, you might not always get feedback, whether it's positive or negative. So have something tangible to watch is something that I actually really loved. Yeah.
Well, I had a film professor back in the day, and this is like 20 going back 25 years, but the first day he goes, make a 1 minute film, because your first film should be 1 minute, and if you can accomplish that, then make a 5 minute film, and then move up. But it's like, but nobody has
There
any
you
business to make
go.
anything beyond 1 minute, and if you because that's the hardest film to make. Is to tell beginning, middle, and end story in 1 minute. And if you could do it, then you're on your way as a director. So I'll always remember that the first day of school. Then that's what we did. We went out and made a 1 minute film, and then we had a show the next week. So basically, so that's what you did with this film. And Obviously, you guys have been on many film sets. You understand how the system works, but you guys, this is a great film, and I wish you guys the best with it.
Thank
Thanks so
you. Yeah.
much.
Callie, well, actually, I think I want Callie to also answer that last question because I'm curious about her.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, yeah.
Oh, sorry. You said you almost cried. I think I did cry. I was like, what? People like it? What? I was so proud that people understood. Like, people just got it, and people saw Amanda, the character, for what she was going through, and it was just received so well. And oh my God, like, it means so much to have something you've written come to life the way it did, and having like almost my best friend work on it with me and just make it such a great experience with such an amazing team, just such an amazing experience in the festival itself, and having the support of the whole community in Vancouver especially, was just incredible. Now having the people online within this festival just makes my heart so big.
That's amazing. Yeah, the film's out there. It's a great film though. Like when you guys have done your festival run, put it online too, and like people can watch it. And like, yeah, it's really, yeah, it's like I said, good, like amazing job. So like it's not easy to do. So basically you guys did a great job. So okay, so let's talk again when you guys make your next film, and best of luck with the Vancouver film scene and your auditions and making being in the industry for the
Thank
next 50 years of your life.
you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
Bye.